still find it a little bit surreal, me standing up here as the team leader of this church. I do often feel inadequate, and if not God's clear calling, I'd be a bit worried about what this job's about. And it was December last year when my thoughts and plans about exiting the church suddenly got changed, and I went away on a prayer retreat and just wasn't sure where the church was going, what was doing, what was happening with me, and just prayed, God, what do you want? How can I be most useful in this place? And the thing I felt the Father say was, what I want more than anything to happen at Overflow is for the mission and the vision of the church to be taken seriously and to be outworked through my spirit to bless the church and the community around it. And that you know this mission and vision as bad as well as anybody, so would you be willing? And I said, yes. And I'm so thankful for the gift of the leaders that God has placed around me in this church. We have some fantastic leaders on our board and on our key leadership team. I'm also blessed to still have access to Chris. Even though she's not in a formal role, I have access to her ears and her heart and her mind. That's a real blessing, her and Grant. I'm also blessed to have a wife who's my number one supporter and has skin in the game here at church. But the thing I love, the thing that encourages me the most is being able to hear God's voice. If I didn't know and wasn't confident that God was speaking to me, I'd be really worried about anything I had to say or anything that I was doing or the way I was going about planning. It's so beautiful to hear God's voice. And I really hope that all of us will grow in the grace of our ability to hear God's voice this term. And speaking of his voice, just to give you an indication, after I responded to that invitation from God, I went back to the board to say I'd be willing to be considered as team leader if they were curious to consider that. And they said, well, what would that look like? And I said, I hadn't really thought about it. I'm not sure. And so I went away for another prayer retreat and just asked God, you know, how do I go about this? And it was about a 45-minute trip to where I was going and just a beautiful time of connecting with God and worship. And then when I sat down, and even before I kind of thought about how I'd approach it, I just felt God say five things to me. And I just love that both Chris and God are literate. And so he gave me five L words. And it was like, this wasn't me thinking of it. It was just this download of five words. And God just showed me just an approach to team leadership. Firstly, just to make sure that whatever I do, and whatever I say, is motivated by love. Just love for him and love for people. If the motivation for what we do here is motivated by love, we're not going to go too far wrong. To listen to him, to listen to what he has to say, but importantly, to listen to the people he places around me. Listen to what God's saying through people. Listen to what people's thoughts and dreams and opinions. So I just really encourage you, don't be shy in coming to talk to me, because I love to hear what God's saying through you. To lead, just to have a crack. Just to do what God calls us to do as leaders here, and just do what he asks us to do as best as we can, and to see the results and learn whether it goes, we think it's successful or not successful, just to learn, just to grow through obedience. And really importantly, to laugh. Just don't take yourself too seriously. Make sure you enjoy the ride. If you're not going to enjoy the ride, don't bother, was kind of the words that he said to me. So I just... yeah, just again, just love the kindness of God in just speaking to me and encouraging me through his word. And it just really relates to this term's vision priorities. So our vision is really just this mission of transforming life through Jesus, which is way bigger than I keep thinking that it is. Transforming life through Jesus, just allowing God to work with us and through us to see life and lives transformed, and to do that more. The vision is just a kind of a clearer articulation of that mission, to be a family of wholehearted people, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, and to going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. And we believe if we do that, we will see life transformed through Jesus. Amen? And Jesus challenged. And so this term, we're focusing on the third part of our vision, which is going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. And Jesus challenged his disciples and anyone who chooses to follow him in relation to this in a specific chapter of the Bible. And that's in Matthew 25. And I'm going to get Jan to read Matthew 25, the last part of it, in a second. But just the context of Matthew 25 was really important because it was just before Jesus had his Last Supper, was betrayed in Matthew 26. Matthew 27 was crucifixion. So this is like the last teaching of Jesus to his disciples. And it was also just after Matthew 25, where Jesus was teaching on what his return and him coming back as king is going to look like. So it's of paramount importance to us. So if I can invite Jan to read Matthew 25, the last section, which is the parable of the sheep and the goats.
But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you in prison or visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life.
What a passage. What an invitation. What a challenge. They're Jesus' words. I'm going to chop out the last bits. I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. But I just want to talk about how this really lines up with this vision priority for us as a church, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the most simple and powerful thing out of this passage is that loving people around us is how we love Jesus. If we love Jesus, we will love the people he places around us. And there are many simple ways that God gives us to show his kindness and his love. That's a real encouragement, this. It's not huge amounts of resources, huge assignments. It's very simple things that demonstrate God's loving kindness to people. And the passage doesn't, it just only demonstrates just of how important this is to Jesus. And demonstrating kindness can be done through very simple acts: feeding, giving a drink, inviting to your home, give me clothing, cared for me, and you visited me. And just in this last week, just to give you some examples of how God just allows these things to happen. When you fed me, I was at the supermarket yesterday up in Claridice, and there was a guy who was obviously struggling in life. And anyway, I bumped into him in the freezer section as we were looking for ice creams, and he was giving me his recommendation of which ice creams are the best ones. And anyway, I just stopped afterwards, and I just felt God say, buy his ice creams for him. So I tracked him down and just said, oh, here's some money. If you can do me a favour, let me pay for your ice creams. And he said, oh, thanks very much. And then I went to got the rest of my things, went to the checkout, and he was in front of me, and he was at the checkout, and the checkout operator kind of stopped and said, had got something off of the pin board and said to this guy, obviously, you obviously, paraphrasing, you came in last week to buy stuff and you haven't paid for it. And so effectively, we're not going to let you buy stuff until you've paid the last stuff. And so I felt God say, here you go. So I went over and said, look, here, I'll take care of that. And she goes, oh, okay. And so she went to swipe it and she said, oh, it's not working. And she gets the lady over and she goes, oh, it looks like it's already been paid. So that was handy. So it only cost me like a few bucks to sort this guy out. But it was just a simple, beautiful opportunity of showing God's kindness in a really simple way. In terms of giving me clothing, I was advised by someone this week that Sarah Hurst was heading back to Indonesia and she was taking some clothing to hand out to the impoverished families in her community. And so us as a church were able to give a couple of $100 to get about 20 or 30 kilos of clothing that would have a huge impact over in Indonesia. So I just bless you in Jesus' name just to know that we're looking for opportunities of demonstrating God's kindness outside of this church. And on Friday, I did prison ministry. Dave Hardy and myself are connected with a guy who's been in prison. I mentioned his story a little while back, but basically, yeah, he has no one who from the outside the prison who has any contact with him. And we just have Zoom sessions with him once every week or so. And it's just such a simple and he's just became a believer soon after. He got into prison, and he's so thankful to God that he was forced into prison and because it led him into a relationship with God. And so we're able to just encourage this guy via Zoom, half an hour, and it's not really much effort. So I just really want to encourage you when we're talking about demonstrating God's kindness. It's often the simplest things, but it's the kindest thing. It's that word kind, my definition of it is just the right thing at just the right time. You know, we know God's kindness when, you know, even things we haven't spoken or prayed about and something is provided or someone comes along or something happens, you just go, God, how did you know? How did you know? So the invitation and challenge this term is how do we steward our opportunities for kindness? And so I have one question this morning. So if I can invite you to consider, if there's someone nearby you, just to share, I'll give you 1 minute. If we're thinking about demonstrating God's kindness, what's likely to stop us or hinder us from actually doing that in our lives? Okay, I'll give you 60 seconds. Just wondering if people could be generous towards me. Just throw out any thoughts that you shared or that the person you're talking with shared. Just what some of the things that can stop or hinder us from demonstrating God's kindness. Time. Fear. Finances. Pride. Worry that it might be taken the wrong way. Just being caught up in life and not seeing the needs around us. Well, when I'm thinking about that question for myself, I guess four things that I feel are going to be the barriers of whether I actually live this out or not are some of those things that you mentioned. Firstly, time, busyness. Satan loves to keep us busier than what we need to be and than is good for us to be. And it's that posture of the heart. Do we have time, make time? Are we interruptible? And as Laura shared last week, the four areas are having time, knowing who and how to show kindness, having faith and overcoming fear, and being motivated and staying motivated. So having time, it's just a posture of our heart. As Laura encouraged us last week, Romans 12:1, in view of everything that God's done for us, in view of his grace and his mercy, it's just the reasonable service to consider yourself as a living sacrifice. So making time, having time, being interruptible is part of that lifestyle of worship. This is for me anyway. Knowing who and how to show kindness is also the thing. Who do we know that needs help? It's so encouraging, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works that he's prepared and advanced us to do. So God lines up his opportunities and assignments of kindness for us, which is really helpful. And it's so important, that other verse preceding that is just to know that we're not saved by doing good works. This isn't getting credit with God. This isn't the good place, getting your points up. But we're saved by grace alone. We are saved to do good works. And knowing who and how to show kindness, we need God to show us, to lead us, to know what his opportunities for kindness are. Not just, Simon mentioned, what we think might be a good idea. Let God give us the ideas. And there's also that challenge of feeling guilty, and there's so many people that we could be helping, and who aren't we helping? And again, we need to release ourselves into being obedient to what God is showing me, what he wants me to do. The next one is having faith, overcoming fear. We're going to be potentially talking to strangers, people we don't know. But it's so important to know that faith just brings pleasure to the Father. He loves it when we step out trusting him, trusting his spirit, trusting his leading, being obedient to what our hearts and spirits are prompted to. And knowing that Jesus is the one who's very ready and wanting to give us the faith, to give us the courage to do what he's asking us to do. And just to trust that he will help us to do it. Being and staying motivated, it's so important that our motivation for showing God's kindness isn't to make a friend with somebody, something that I get to show someone that how good I am, or even it's so important that our motivation is love, that we love God and we love people, and that's purely and simply we're wanting to do that for people because we know how much God loves us. And being and staying motivated, I love that verse in Philippians 2. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Again, saved to do good works. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Isn't that encouraging? Just allowing God to outwork himself in us. And that comes from prayer and presence and worship and just being open to God. So what's God's invitation and challenge for us as individuals in order to demonstrate his kindness? Just for those who are wondering what these other letters are referring to. So that these things can just help us. They're the things I sense God inviting me to do in order to be able to live out this invitation and challenge, and for us as a church to be continually praying and to be interruptible to God. You know, there's one thing that's, I don't know if you have a partner who you're regularly in contact with on phones, and sometimes they don't hang up at the end of a conversation, even if they've rung you. I won't say who this is, but I have this person in my life who will ring up, da da da, how are you going, da da da, okay, bye, and just not hang up. And it's like, you rang me, like, it's that pushing that off, like, it's a fair bit of effort. And you should be doing that. But I think this is such a beautiful picture of how God wants us to approach prayer. That we start our day just acknowledging Him, inviting Him into our life, and then don't hang up. Doesn't mean we have to be talking, but I know that a couple of minutes later, I can get on the phone and go, hey, Laura, Laura, Laura. She's still there. Got a whistle or something to get out. Anyway, hope you get the point. Just to be prayerful, to be in constant prayer, and to be interruptible so that God can show us those opportunities. And it's so important to ask Him how and who to show kindness to. Not just to do a good deed, although, again, it's this beautiful opportunity. You'll have this term of getting to tune into God's voice. And what was the opportunities that He showed us that we get to do? But to ask, not just listen, but to ask, God, who do you want me to show kindness to today? Give me an opportunity to show kindness today. And then be obedient. Just do what He asks you to do. Don't be guilty about doing anything more than He asks you to do, but do what He asks you to do. And the other thing, He invites me and for us, just to connect, just to do it together. We want to share the journey this term of how did it work? What did you hear? What happened when you did it? Again, not that the results are the important thing, it's the obedience that's the important thing, but we want to do this together. And you think, if we've got, 80-100 people that every day or every week are showing a God-assigned act of kindness to someone, there's going to be lots of lives slowly or dramatically transformed. Amen? So just want to wrap this up fairly quickly, and I just want to kind of, again, talk through what we're doing as leadership, and then to finish off by giving you the invitation, what you want to do as part of this church community. So as I talk about those things before, a big part of it is hearing from God. And so we really want to have a clear focus throughout this term on hearing the voice of God. So whether you hear God really well and really often, or whether you go, I don't know, I've heard of people hearing from God. I know He's got a book, that's probably would do the job. But I think for all of us, God wants us to hear Him more clearly, more often. And so I just invite you this term to position yourself to hear God more clearly and more often, and to enjoy the adventure of faith that comes with that. It's brilliant. The other things that we're doing as leadership is to make some connections in the community. So there'll be some off-site events and activities. There'll be some social events and activities that are age-based within the church, and people from outside the church are also willing to be connected to that. We may be looking to serve the community in some ways. We're looking for ways to serve our Christian school. And we're also looking at ways that we can demonstrate God's kindness in a much bigger scale and more tangible, practical ways through the vehicle of Overflow Care. Overflow Care is our community service arm, and what we're going to be doing later this term, you don't need to worry about it too much right now, but in November we'll give you more information, but we really want to seek God, hear what He has to say about what the opportunities are for us as a church to demonstrate His kindness in ways in the community that we couldn't do as individuals, and how we can use Overflow Care to achieve that. So the invitation for you, and if I could invite Nikki and a few friends just to hand out an opportunity to respond. Again, we're doing what God's calling us to do as leaders. We're creating activities, events, opportunities. We're providing you teaching resources, but it's up to you as to what you want to do And this isn't a guilt thing. We just don't want anybody to miss out on any opportunities of being connected or to doing what God's inviting them to this term. So we just, again, if the option on this card is the last one, nothing for now, but thanks for asking, that's perfectly fine. Don't feel obliged. Don't feel guilty. But we don't want people to miss out. And so those opportunities, as Joe mentioned before, this coming week, we're going to have a prayer week. So we will send out, this afternoon a short 3-minute video just on what is praying for half an hour, an hour. What could that look like? How do you do that? How do you pray for more than 3 minutes if that's your situation? So we just want to give you some guide rails to enjoy prayer. And we'll also give you some prayer focuses each day to know what we're praying for as a whole church community. We also want to make the opportunity, the invitation, if you want to join a Connect group or receive our midweek teaching. So again, in our Connect groups and midweek teaching, it's going to be teaching how to hear God's voice more clearly, more accurately, whatever the term is. We're going to use some of Bill Johnson's teachings and just to encourage you. So if you want to either join a Connect group, let us know. If you want to get access to that midweek teaching, we'll email that out each week, and you can do it as a devotion or as a family or a couple or with somebody else. And then those serving opportunities coming out of the term where we're looking at stewarding our gifts. As Loretta mentioned, there is the opportunity. If you want to prepare also food for morning tea, you can indicate that. If you want to join Nikki and Dave and friends on the door, welcoming is such an important first impression that we want to give people a taste of God's kindness just as they enter our building. If you want to help demonstrate God's goodness to our kids through Destiny Kids, you're certainly welcome to flag that. If you want to be part of our creative team in one way or another, if you want to learn about baptism, if you want to make that heart commitment and connection to Jesus through baptism, let us know. We can give you more information. If you want to become a partner of the church, if you want to really commit to this as your church family home, or if you're not sure what you could do, what you should do, what you might do, we're happy to have a chat. Again, none of these are, if you tick the box, you're going to be signed up next week. It just starts a conversation, so we just don't want anybody to miss out. So if I can just give us, again, I know it's morning tea o'clock, so if I can just give you 60 seconds to pray. Just God, what is it that you're inviting me to do? And if you're not a member of this church, I just pray that God will be speaking to you anyway. This isn't, we don't have a mortgage on God's mission. Seeing life transformed through Jesus is what he wants to do through all Christians. So yeah, I just invite you, just spend a minute in relative silence to just see what God wants to prompt you and encourage you this term. Then we've got morning tea. I just want to invite you just to pray for our church. Just pray for the other people in this room and those members of our church who may not be here this morning. Just pray whether you want to do that alone or with somebody nearby you. But just to bless, just that this may be a truly an enjoyable adventure of faith in demonstrating God's loving kindness to people. That's not a burden or something we have to keep score of or compare ourselves to. None of that rubbish. Just an adventure of faith, just releasing God's goodness. And as Paul says in Romans, Michelle mentioned this morning, God's kindness actually leads people to repentance. It's not God's judgment. It's God's kindness that leads people to change the way that they think and live. And we want to give people a taste of God's kindness. So if I can just invite you just for a minute or so, just to be praying for the other people in this room, that God will bless them, empower them, encourage them, help them overcome fears, make time, enjoy a new season of prayerfulness and a new season of interconnectedness as community.